Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on December 4, 2012. May we please have the roll call?
Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Here.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Here. All present and accounted for?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to make a slight change in the agenda for this evening. The comments by the board president we will do when we come out of executive session before we get to the superintendent's report. So at this time, I would ask for a motion to go into executive session, please.
So moved.
Michelle,
so
if you would mind reading that motion.
Certainly. Whereas, while the Senator Byron M. Beyer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e., without public being permitted to attend. And, whereas, the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b, to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any material, the disclosure of which constitutes an unwarranted invasion of individual privacy, such as any records, data, reports, recommendations, or other personal material of any educational, training, social service, medical health, custodial, child protection, rehabilitation, legal defense, welfare, housing, relocation, insurance, and similar program or other institution operated by a public body pertaining to any specific individual admitted to or served by such institution or program, including but not limited to information relative to the individual's personal and family circumstances and any material pertaining to admission, discharge, treatment, progress, or condition of any individual, unless the individual concerned or in the case of a minor or incompetent, his guardian, shall request in writing that the same be disclosed publicly. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is a hearing before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussions of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Michelle. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Maria. Any discussion? Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, we'll go. We're going into the child study.
We're going to stay here.
We're going to stay here. Or does somebody come in?
We have somebody outside.
We need a motion to come out of executive session and to go back to our regular session.
So moved.
So moved by Michelle.
Second.
Roll call. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, we're back into executive session. The next item on the agenda is, I'm sorry, public session. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the comments by the board president. I have two or three items I would like to cover at this time. First of all, it would be remiss on my part if I didn't at least mention the incident that happened last Friday in Connecticut. We are a Board of Education. We're concerned about the children. We're concerned about all children, especially those children in Clinton Township. We wouldn't serve on the Board of Education unless we wanted what was in the best interest and the best thing for our children. And you, as parents or community members, wouldn't be here this evening unless you felt the same way. Let it suffice to say, at least at this point in time, that our thoughts and our prayers are with the families of the children that lost their lives in Connecticut. But not only the children, also the brave teachers and administrators who sacrificed their life to help save some of those children. So when you go home this evening, if we're not here too late, I would strongly recommend that you give your son or daughter a kiss goodnight, tell them how much you love them, tell them how important they are in your life. Okay? Since this is my last meeting as a member of the Clinton Township Board of Education, my last public meeting, I just wanted to take a minute to thank all the voters in Clinton Township who elected me to two terms in office. I consider it an honor and a privilege to serve on the Board of Education. I think it's a noble calling. It's something that I think is extremely important, and it's something that I would suggest everyone sitting here in the audience this evening give some consideration to. You don't get paid. At least you don't get paid any money. But some of the... you get fudge from the superintendent of schools. I don't know if it's worth it, but you do get some fudge from the superintendent of schools.
Mr. Clark made that fudge.
I have one other item that I would like to mention. At our last public meeting, which was in November, a member of the community brought before the board an email that was sent out by a sitting member of the Board of Education claimed that particular email was highly inappropriate. If you read the Hunterdon Democrat or the Hunterdon Review, there was a letter to the editor this past week about about that particular email that was sent out to some members of the public. The individual who brought the email to the attention of the board said that the board should, said that a particular member of our Board of Education should resign his seat on the Board of Education. We turned that email over to our board attorney, and this is the opinion of our board attorney. After reviewing the November 2nd, 2012 email from Dan McTiernan to what appeared to be the parents of participants in a girls' soccer league confirming a game on November 3rd, which was provided to the board by Nick Corcadillis at the Board of Education meeting on November 19th, 2012. Mr. Corcadillis asserted at that meeting that Mr. McTiernan behaved unethically by including a sentence in that email urging the recipients to vote for him and his running mates in the board election. After reviewing the email in light of the School Ethics Act, which is applicable to members of a Board of Education, our attorney concluded that there appeared to be no basis to determine that Mr. McTiernan had violated the act. As such, the board will take no further action in this regard. Okay? We take any accusations made by members of the public very seriously. As I indicated, I personally believe that serving on the board is extremely important, and you have to be fair-minded and and appropriate, and you have to do what you believe in your heart is in the best interest of children first, before the taxpayers. Children first. All right? I feel very fortunate to serve with my colleagues, my eight colleagues on the Board of Education, and my experience with these individuals has been every single one of them has their heart in the right place, and they do serve on the Board of Education what they believe is in the best interest of our children. Enough said, we will now move on to the superintendent's report. Dr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. There are a few things that I would also like to share with the community. It does not have it under my reports. However, the events of last Friday in Connecticut were horrific to us all. And as a superintendent, as you begin to watch this situation unfold, you watch it after many years of training, and I'm going to use the word clinical training, in how to address these kinds of events and to deal with what is happening. And so there, as you start to see the process, your mind goes into, I'm going to say overdrive, and you start to look at it as if it were your schools and your community, and what would you be doing and feeling, and how would you be handling this, and did you go through lists in your mind thinking about, did I do this? Did I do this? What if this were my school? And I know, as I'm looking at one of our principals shaking her head, that all of our administrators were doing the same thing, because you live this. And so you begin to leave the clinical state of mind, and as you see the hurt to children and to teachers, and as I saw the faces of those teachers, those kindergarten first grade teachers, I saw the faces of our kindergarten first grade teachers, and saw those children in our classrooms, you leave the clinical analytical stage and you get into a deeply emotional state of pain and worry and oh my gosh, what are we going to do to protect everybody for the future? And then I recalled that in my very first interview for a principal, and I got the job, by the way, but it was right after Columbine. And one of the board members who was interviewing me said, okay, so Columbine happens at your school. What do you do the next day? And he said, are you going to guarantee us that nothing like this will ever happen again? And I stopped and I thought, because what I wanted to say was, yes, I'm not going to let this happen in my school. But I also knew that some things cannot truly be stopped. You can't stop the guns of a madman just because you will it. You can be proactive and preventive and think and brainstorm and work your hardest to protect everyone you know. And so my answer was, no, sir, I cannot guarantee you that Columbine will not happen in your school. I can guarantee you that I will be relentless in reviewing and revising and protecting my children and my teachers. That's how important they are to me. And we will keep doing that. And when somebody tells me there's a problem, we will go out and fix it today. So I do want you to know that from years past, your staff has been working on safety and security. There are very detailed plans in the Clinton Township schools for crisis management and security. In fact, they were recently revised because we wanted to update them with better information. Unfortunately, the more these situations occur and the more you debrief with prosecutors' offices and police departments, you learn some of the behind-the-scenes details that can help you prevent problems in the future. So we did update and revise our emergency response plan. Our principals have all been working on that, and they're working on that with the staff. But we have the most current, up-to-date information in our plans. And that took place before any of this happened. But then when the situation occurs, we start talking to the police right away. The Clinton Township Police Department has been very responsive to the schools. They came on Friday. They made sure we were all safe and that we felt safe, and did we need anything from them. Some of our principals talked to Detective Hash over the weekend. I spoke with Detective Hash over the weekend. I also had emails from the prosecutor's office because the prosecutor's office debriefs on these cases, and they learn more. They share more with school administration and tell us other things we can do better because they learned something else in this process. And we continue to do that. The police promised me this weekend that they would be a presence in our schools all week. I went to every school today because I'm a neurotic mother, what can I say? The detective said to me, are you following the department? They were at all the buildings multiple times, and they're going to be throughout the rest of this week to make sure their presence is known and that they're around our schools. I also want you to be aware that the police are coming to our leadership team meeting tomorrow afternoon. We had a meeting scheduled, and we review security procedures all the time at these meetings and what else we have to do because we're only always learning and growing. But as part of that, I asked the Clinton Township Police to come to the meeting and participate and talk to us about things that, other ideas that they had, brainstorming that we could do together to figure out, is there anything else that we can do? And so everything is on the table. We are reviewing everything. I attended the school security meeting at Spruce Run this morning, which I am sure most of you would know. As a school with a kindergarten and first grade, was feeling very vulnerable today. And I spoke to the staff there. And they said to me, well, we're trying to think of other things that could be done. And we brainstormed some ideas. And they said, well, Dr. Clark, what about money? Or can we change this? Or can we do this? And I said, I do not want you to worry about money. That's my job. You tell me what you need, and I will talk to the board. And the board here, I know, they made a commitment to me about Children First. I believe them. They act on it. And so I've already talked to the business administrator. Anything that we need to do, somebody told me about a small problem in the building today, and I sent the maintenance guy over and said, fix it now. And so we did that, and I sent a note to our teachers because they are the eyes and ears of not only the present but of the future, about the future of people in our society, that they can say to us, we need to do something to help this child now before it's too late, before they become someone without feelings who could do something horrific like happened in Canada. And I trust our teachers. And I also ask them to be my eyes and ears as they go through drills and different activities that we practice all the time and say, okay, you know, principal, there's a problem with this, or I want you to look at this, or we have another idea about how we could do this. And so we're doing all those things. And I want you as a community and the people who are listening to this audio tape to know that we are leaving no stone unturned. Money is not an issue, and I am not saying that disrespectfully. I'm a fiscal conservative, folks, but I believe that we protect and take care of our children and staff, and I know our board does too. And so, you know, whatever we have to move to do and to make things perfect or as perfect as they can be, you have my commitment that we will do that. Although I can't guarantee perfection or that something like this will never, ever happen again. We live in a very strange society. Things will happen. But please, if you have a thought, an idea about this, you know, I respond to all your emails. I respond to concerns. Call me, email me, call a board member. Let us know, and we will work to make it even better. But we have good, strong, safe, secure schools, and we have a fabulous group of teachers and staff members and secretaries who I'm looking at one of them right here, who are frontline answering doorbells and checking that everything is safe, and they work hard. So I just wanted to say that. I'm sorry for taking a little long.
No.
I thought it was important.
It is.
Okay. So I'm having a little problem with my eyes, folks. So I had to bring a magnifier for tonight. All right. So let me say about enrollment. It's 1,603, and there's no significant change to that. Can you just turn to the suspension report, the attached suspension report, so that the, I just want to pull the number up.
I don't have any.
No? No suspensions? There may be none.
No suspensions. It says attached.
No suspensions.
No HIVs.
No. Okay. There are no suspensions to report this month. We
one.
Do. Oh, wait. One?
One at the middle school.
One at the middle school. And there is an attached report on that. All right. We also have HIV reports. So we had one investigation at Patrick McGarren. It was determined not to be HIV. There were two investigations at Round Valley, determined not to be HIV. There were three investigations at the middle school, and they were determined not to be HIV. actually, I'm sorry, three, for Patrick McGarren. Sorry, folks. I guess a visit to the eye doctor is going to be in order. I also need to share with you, we used to do one report each year on violence and vandalism and HIV. And it was one report that you did in October, and that was it. The law has changed about that, and so now we give two reports a year. So I just want to share some numbers with you that have been reported to the state regarding a count of incidents of reporting by category. So violence, there are seven acts, there have been seven acts of violence in our schools. There was one act of vandalism. It was writing on a bathroom wall, in case anyone is interested. Okay, we have no weapons, zero weapons, all right. Substance abuse is zero, all right. The cost of the vandalism, there was no incident that involved cost to the district other than washing the wall down. There was, I'm sorry, here. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Show me where we're at.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
No, the police did not have to be notified. No complaints involving the police. There were five in-school suspensions. Eight out-of-school suspensions. Expulsions, there were none. Offenders and victims, student offenders, eight. Student victims, five. School personnel victims, three. Student victims of violent criminal offense, zero. Program provided upon disciplinary action. Assignments, instructions, and our support services, five cases. In-school programs, none. In district, zero. Home assignment, home instruction, one.
Thank you. Sorry, folks. I was given some medicine that blurred my vision a bit, and it was supposed to be better by now, and it's not. Thank you for being patient. And thank you for the superintendent's report.
Okay. We have four action items under the superintendent's report, two that are contained in the board agenda. Those would be action items 004 and 005, which refer to the harassment, intimidation, and bullying report. And then two items that we're going to add to the agenda based upon our meeting in executive session. And we will call them action items 006 and 007. So we'll have our Heather read those reports or read those motions for you.
Motion number SU-006 is motion to affirm the recommendation of the superintendent of schools as it relates to the HIB the harassment, intimidation, and bullying determination in case number 001. Action item SU-007 is motion to remand the recommendation of the superintendent of schools as it relates to the harassment, intimidation, and bullying determination in case number 008 for further administrative consideration as agreed with the parents of the purported victim. The matter will be brought thereafter only as provided by law.
So we do have four motions under the superintendent's report. If we could have a motion to approve those four.
Did you read the other two motions? Or you
have do you want me to read all of them? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Motion SU-004, be it resolved that the Board of Education accepts the enrollment, suspension, and the HIB reports as presented. Action SU-005, be it resolved that the Board of Education approves the following resolution, approving the Clinton Township School District's electronic violence and vandalism and harassment, intimidation, and bullying reports, whereas NJSA 18A:17-46, NJAC and NJAC 6A:16-5.3F require that at two public hearings each year, the superintendent of school provides a report to the Board of Education on all acts of violence and vandalism which occurred in the school district during the previous school year. Whereas NJSA 18A:36-5.1 and NJAC 6A:16-5.2 designates October 15th through the 19th, 2012 as School Violence Awareness Week in the state of New Jersey. Whereas the Clinton Township School District has observed this week by organizing activities to prevent school violence, including but not limited to age-appropriate opportunities for student discussion on conflict resolution, issues of student diversity and tolerance. Whereas law enforcement personnel were invited to join members of the teaching staff in the discussions. Whereas programs designated to help recognize warning signs of school violence and to instruct on recommended conduct during any incident of school violence were provided for school employees. Whereas the public hearing is specifically conducted to fulfill the district's legal obligation to present school violence and vandalism information to the public and to conduct public hearings on the violence and vandalism report. Whereas pursuant to NJSA 18A:17-46 and NJAC 6A:16-5.3A4, the superintendent has provided a presentation to the Board of Education at the public hearing on all acts of violence and vandalism which occurred during the previous school year, including a report on the district's verified violence and vandalism data submitted under the electronic violence and vandalism reporting system to the NJDOT for the previous school year 2011-2012. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education accepts the superintendent's public report on violence and vandalism and HIV.
Thank you, Heather. Do we have a motion to approve those four items?
So moved.
So moved by Kevin Sturgis.
Second.
We have a second by Maria. Any discussion on either one of the four items? Seeing none, if we could have a roll call.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes, on 04, 05, and 06, and abstain on 07.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Cresty?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is public comments on agenda items only. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board on an agenda item, we would ask you to come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and I would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Any questions that you have or any concerns that you would like to raise, please keep those limited to 3 minutes on agenda items only. Seeing none, we'll move right into the first recognition of the public. And again, I would invite anybody in the audience who would like to address the board on any item, whether that be student safety, the school budget, to please come up to the mic, state your name and address, and limit your comment, question, or concern to 3 minutes.
We're coming up as a group. Ronald Frank.
Doreen Frank. Ellie Voorhees.
Jim, we just want to thank you for the many years of service you've provided, not only the board, but as well as the students of Clinton Township. Many, many hours I know you've put in, and it doesn't go unrecognized, and we just wanted to thank you for that.
Yes, and as a parent of an eighth grader, and soon to go to North Hunterdon, I want to thank you, and he was here while you were board president, and I also had an a college student here while you were on board president. So thank you so, so much. I really, really appreciate all your effort.
And I want to say that I think the only thing you'll miss from here on in is Dr. Clark's fudge. It was very good. I have to miss that. Sorry, okay. But I guess that's the price he'll have to pay.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys. You didn't use up your whole 3 minutes of this.
Good evening. My name is Tom Borkowski, and I also came here to thank Jim. I just want to say that I feel very blessed to live in a wonderful community like Clinton Township. And when I think about what makes it such a great place to live, it's the institutions and the organizations like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the churches. And really, it's the schools. And all those organizations wouldn't really work, or they wouldn't really be what they are unless we had volunteers. And it's the volunteers, it's the people of our community that make it the great place it is. So some volunteers get off, you know, being a volunteer is great, but some people have a little harder than others. And I think Jim particularly, you know, being in his position, had a pretty tough, had it a little bit harder at times. But rarely, I think I said this before, maybe once, that not usually do people come forward to thank you for the hard work that you do, and I'm applying this to everyone, not just Jim. You know, very oftentimes in this particular setting, you only hear the criticisms, or actually you hear the criticisms loudest. But there is a majority of people out there, maybe we'll call them the silent majority, who really do appreciate the hard work that you do. You know, they don't come here to tell you that, but they do. So know that the work that you do here, you know, we're very blessed to have great schools, and you know, your job is so hard because nobody wants to pay for it, but they're also, I think, cognizant of the fact that our schools are great, and so it's because of the work you do. So, Jim, I'm here specifically for you. I want to thank you for your 2 terms of service, and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. And what's your address?
I just want to take a moment to thank you publicly for everything that you do. I know that you never toot your own horn, but you have devoted your entire adult life to children and educating children and doing what you believe in your heart is what's best for children. And I think that Ian, as a student in this district, was very lucky that you were on the Board of Education. I think all of the children in this district have been lucky, whether people agree or disagree with decisions that the board makes. You have always, I believe, conducted yourself with grace and dignity and done things truly in your heart, what you believed was best for the children. Never for yourself, never wanting accolades, just trying to do what was best. And I appreciate that, but I want to tell you, because most people, I think maybe on this board, the only person who really knows is Michelle Christie, how much work you do. The phone calls that come 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and the constant time demand. And so while I'm grateful for everything you've done, I am thrilled to have you back, baby. I love you.
Thank you.
Ian Dinkoff. Dad, I'd just like to say that I'm glad you're retiring. I know it's a lot of stress, but I'm also thankful that you've been able to, you know, balance out the time between the board and still, you know, go to all my games, football, basketball, baseball, still watch Boardwalk Empire with me, watch Sopranos. I mean, I love you, Dad. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
Aww.
the next item on the agenda. The report of the school. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming out tonight. The report of the school business administrator.
This is before, after I wipe my face.
You can't leave.
Eileen, you can't leave.
You can't leave yet. Can't leave yet.
Is there more fudge?
There's more fudge. You can't leave.
Nobody wants to see how the sausage gets
made. No, there is more fudge.
No, seriously.
Your wife is still staying, right? Is your wife staying?
No.
They're really leaving? Oh, you want to do that?
Eileen, you have to stay.
The doors are locked.
We take it. Excuse me, but the superintendent, who's probably not allowed to do this,
Eileen,
is going
Eileen.
To take over Stay the here. Agenda for a moment and ask the people in the back to just stop for a moment, turn around, and face the podium. It is really important. I promise, board, I will probably almost never do this again. I'm going to turn this over to the vice president of the board right now.
Oh, this is an interesting
I'm sorry, Mr. Gattiardi, you could go.
You know, you could go.
I'm
going
to miss this one. You make me stay for all the unpleasant stuff. I'm coming for you.
Yeah. No, you're good. Everyone's good in your 3 minutes. And I'm not going to make it even close to it, but I have a few words I want to say about Jim and for Jim. And Dr. Clark asked me to say a few words, and I'm so thrilled to do that. I think from all of us we heard tonight, one word to describe Jim is commitment, and that's commitment to Clinton Township School District and our motto of children first. Over the years, Jim has been tireless in his efforts here, and he's always motivated by just that motto, children first, and high water, low water, no matter what, that has always been his bottom line is, and that in the multiple conversations, yes, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes very late at night, it's always like, okay, what's best for the kids? And that's really what it always comes down to. Just by way of background about Jim, Jim also brings us a tremendous amount of wisdom and insight to all of our decisions and how we handle board matters. And that's really based upon his over 42 years as a professional in the education community. He started out as a teacher in New Brunswick. Thereafter, he became a principal where he served for about 35 years. In those different capacities, he has seen probably a lot of the situations that come to us today. And by that experience, he guides us and gives us advice. Jim has been on this board for 6.5 years. He was elected to the Clinton Township School District Board of Education in the spring of 2006. And he has served ever since his last year as president. And I think a testament to his commitment to this board is the fact that Jim's youngest son, Ian, who's obviously here tonight, has graduated from this district over 4 years ago and is now in college himself. So Jim has stayed on this board for not only the end of one term, but was reelected for another term after all his children were graduated through. So I think that is the one fact that demonstrates his commitment to the board and his commitment to improving and furthering the education system that we have here today. So if we can give Jim a round of applause, please.
Thank you, Michelle.
So we have two little gifts for you. That are traditional in Clinton Township. And you have taught me about traditions in Clinton Township. So go ahead.
a beautiful little plaque. It says, in recognition of your dedication to the children of Clinton Township School District, Frank Jim Dincuff, President, Board of Education, 2006 to 2012. Thank you
for
very
your
much.
Office.
For my office.
And,
okay.
And of course,
the little red schoolhouse. And I've given out about 7 or 8 of these. And I was hoping to have one, and I have a place picked out for it already. So thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you, board members. Thank you very much. No, did you really? Wow.
The meeting is still yours, Mr. President.
Okay, you guys can go home now.
Sorry, I just had to.
Okay.
Go now while you get the chance.
You know. I'll be back. Thank you for staying. Okay. Heather, please.
The current date of the next Board of Education meeting is the reorganization meeting scheduled for Thursday, January 3rd, 2013. It will be held in this auditorium. On that date. Also, too, I wanted to remind everyone, if you were unable to attend our meeting on December the 3rd, Dr. Clark and I presented Budget 101 and how to put a budget together. And we discussed what a zero-based budget is and what our plan is on doing that going forward for the 13-14 school year. And we also discussed how revenues and expenditures are determined based on the needs of specific programs in our school district to support that zero-based budget. If you were unable to attend, the PowerPoint presentation is still on our website, and the audio is also on our website. We will continue to do updates as we continue to go through the budgeting process and have public sessions to have everyone involved in that process. But if you have any questions, please refer them to either Dr. Clark or myself. You can do that through email or by calling the business office or the superintendent's office.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the reorganizational meeting of the board will be on Thursday, which is different for us, January 3rd here in the auditorium. And the board will be selecting a new board president, new board vice president. We have one new member of the board that will be sworn in, Tom Higgins. John Higgins. Yeah.
He might like Tom.
John. We have 4 items that need to be moved and approved by the Board of Education. And those would be action items 015 through 019. So if we could have a motion to that effect.
So moved.
So moved by Kevin Sturgis and a second by?
Second.
Second by Dan. Any discussion on items 015 through 019?
Quick question. Sorry. I was wondering if the business administrator could possibly elaborate just a bit on action item 19 related to the Budget Control Act and sequestration.
What this motion is doing, we've been asked by New Jersey school boards to, New Jersey school boards to come together as school districts within the state of New Jersey and more than likely across the country to express our concern to our public figures what an impact sequestration can have on our public education. So what this motion is doing is basically stating that the Board of Education is concerned about the possibility of sequestration and what a negative impact financially it will have on our district due to several years of reduced funding and increased expenditures through a natural progression. If we were to take any additional federal funding hits to our budget or state funding hits to our budget, it could be devastating to not only Clinton Township School, but to many school districts, most school districts in the state of New Jersey. So that's what this motion is about, is basically to ask our legislators to please support us at a time when sequestration could potentially be a very real thing and can potentially really hurt the district.
Thank you.
Quick question on that. Doesn't the New Jersey School Board usually advocate to the state of New Jersey and urging Congress and the administration to amend such things? Or, you know, does that trickle down to the board level, or isn't that this? Because you said the New Jersey School Board Association recommended this.
Well, what they
advocating
do,
for this.
Yeah, what they do is they identify the issues which potentially can be have a large impact to school districts in the state of New Jersey as a whole. And they will occasionally ask for motions in unison, if you will, or in large support, because the philosophy is the more information and requests and that are presented to our legislatures, you know, it's power in numbers. So this is something that they felt very strongly about and felt that it was really important that we support this issue as a group. Yes, they all. But to answer your question, yes, they also do amendments to bylaws and those type of things within the school board's association. But this is something that they've asked, and it's not something we absolutely. It's not a mandate.
Okay.
It's not a mandate.
Right.
It's basically, you know, you hear if there's an issue you're very concerned about, write your legislature.
Right.
That's basically what they're asking the school board to do.
Okay, because normally they're the lobbyists, basically.
Correct. I'm sorry, say that again?
Normally they are, they being the New Jersey School Board, are the lobbyists.
Absolutely. And this isn't lobbying.
It's a trickle-down effect to go up.
Correct. To basically say, we're concerned about this, it could really hurt us.
Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion?
Have we been provided with any guidance on how this would impact our district?
We have not. The reason is because from year to year, we're never really clear on what our funding is going to be. You know, you hear the rumor mill and you hear, you know, the concerns that are out there. 3 years ago, we experienced a reduction in our state aid mid-year, which is very devastating to a school district who in April is already three quarters of the way through the year and they had to cut large amounts of money out of their budget because the funding just wasn't going to be there. I think this is a concern that potentially this again could happen if the federal funding isn't there for the state of New Jersey to live up to what they've already committed to. So it we don't have an actual number per se, but there is a true risk that it could happen, and we need to be prepared for that.
And our federal funding is usually roughly around $400,000, but that's based on a needs that we have based on Title I and IDEA?
Right. This is different. This is actually the funding. What this is the trickle-down effect. The federal government funds New Jersey programs with federal funding, not necessarily Fund 20, which you're talking about, our grants. So potentially this could affect our Fund 10 state aid that the state of New Jersey has already committed to us because they will be unable to fund the formula. They will be able to fund what they've already committed to us for. So last spring when we did our budget, and it's more than $400,000, I believe we get $2 million in state aid, give or take. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. What this is saying is that if the federal government were to have a financial difficulty where there is a sequestration, they will be unable to provide the state of New Jersey the funding that they've committed to them. Therefore, they're unable to provide the funding they've committed to us. So that $2 million mid-year could be less if sequestration happens.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Quick follow-up. You said that they're asking all school boards, the New Jersey School Board Association is asking all, are they going to be taking stats of who is and who isn't? Are they keeping stats here? Is that what that we're hearing in their lobbying attempt?
You know what, I'm not sure of that. I could ask that question. What this motion, by passing this motion tonight, what as the board secretary, I will do is I will forward a certified copy of this motion to many legislature, members of the legislature. So Senator Robert Menendez, U.S. Senator Frank Wattenberg, Congressman Leonard Lance, and we also actually send it to the National School Boards Association so that it's our voice.
And another question, the 12-3 minutes, they will be on the next meeting? I know we had a special meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
I apologize.
No problem.
They will be on the next meeting.
Thank you.
Heather, last question on 019. Does NJ School Boards have any position or opinion on, well, if we're talking about not cutting federal spending, the debate seems to be about you either raise taxes to support the spending, or you do continued deficit spending. Do they have a position on which one of those would occur to fund the money they don't want cut?
I don't think that they're involved in that conversation. I think they're concerned about what potentially, if a resolution hasn't been met, what potentially that can mean to each of us in a school district. So I don't know that they've specifically stated their statement in terms of what their solution would be. And that isn't necessarily what we're doing here either. It's what happens if there is a cut in funding, what impact that would have on us.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. So if we can have a roll call vote on those four items,
please. So moved.
Oh, well, it's been moved and seconded. I'm gonna roll call.
Okay.
Mr. Freda?
I abstain on 019. Yes to everything else.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes to everything, but no on 19.
No on 19. Mrs. Cresty?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Committee reports, the Facilities and Finance Committee, Kevin.
Good evening. The Facilities and Finance Committee has had two opportunities to meet since the last public meeting. We met on November 19th and again earlier this evening, December 17th. In committee, we've been discussing our now collapsed hay barn and the process for going about the cleanup and the insurance claim, including historic preservation concerns and salvage value, and going about strategizing how to move the project along as quickly as we can while best representing the interests of the district. We've discussed the budget calendar and adding the meeting to December 3rd regarding budget 101. That meeting was held. Regarding the budget calendar, at these public meetings, if anybody does have an opinion about what they would like to see in the school year as far as what your priorities are for education spending, it's helpful to the members of the Board of Education to hear that. So if you do have thoughts on what you would like to see included in the budget, please feel free to speak here or to communicate with us via email. We discussed final payment for the roof replacement project at Spruce Run School. This was a very large capital improvement project which was undertaken this year because the roof was in disrepair. This was a big project. It went well. The project's now closed. The inspections are complete, and from all reports, the vendor did a very good job on the roof. We're happy with the quality of the work. So we should take a minute to breathe a sigh of relief that this major project got completed and it's paid for. So the roof on that school should be good to go for many years to come. We've been discussing an RFP we put out for Architect of Record Services for the district. I'll speak about that in a little bit more detail. and we've been discussing some motions on the previous agenda relating to foundation grants, our comprehensive maintenance plan, and services required for our heating and HVAC system. Regarding the architectural RFP, we solicited proposals for a new architect of record. We received 5 proposals in. They've been evaluated by the Facilities and Finance Committee as well as the superintendent and our business administrator. And we've been discussing which firms we want to bring in, a short list to come in and do interviews with the Facilities and Finance Committee. And subsequent to those interviews, we'll make a recommendation to the Board of Education of one or more architects to consider hiring as our architect of record. I do have a question for the full board, which I think we'll wait until the motion's passed in discussion. We do have action items 079 through 090. With that report, I'm asking to move those action items.
Thank you, Kevin. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mark. Any discussion?
Yes. I have a question.
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Dan.
Could we just get a little elaboration on items 089 and 090? You know, what has led to that?
Would you like me to answer that? Previously, the district had a student that was placed out of district. So the student is a Clinton Township student who has been placed out of district. Due to a change in the student's situation, there was a hospital placement, at which time we were paying for homebound instruction, if you will, for the educational part of the student's day. The student is no longer requiring that level of care and has been moved to an in-state placement. So it's residential, which is more money than what was originally in the budget for the out-of-district placement. So what 089 is doing is asking to be able to move $40,000 from our excess extraordinary aid from last year and appropriate it from surplus into the out-of-district private placement line for that particular student for money that was not budgeted due to the change in placement.
Is that change in placement generated by the state or generated by the administration?
It was a state placement based on the student's needs.
State placement, child study team.
It was not a child study team placement. Originally, it was a child study team placement. But due to the changing in the needs for the student, it has become
different. My understanding would be is that even though the state mandates this course of action, this is not a course of action that the state is going to reimburse the school district for or provide support for separate from our normal budgeting arrangements.
Well, what will happen is we are not required to pay the residential piece. We're required just for the educational piece. And it will be part of our 12-13 extraordinary aid calculation and the services provided to the student in tuition and related services will go into the extraordinary aid calculation. And because it's an out-of-district private placement, we will be reimbursed if the formula is funded. And I always preface that. It has been for the last few years, at least to a large majority, about 80 to 87%. We will be reimbursed for expenditures 75% over $55,000. So we will get some funding back for this particular student as well as any student out of district. But overall, you are correct. We will not be reimbursed the total amount of their placement.
And is there any check and balance that provides us with an assurance that the state decision is the correct decision? Or are we subject to these mandates by the state? Because I believe that would apply, that question applies to 089 and 090, I believe.
Well, 089 is to support 090. It's the same, it's to move the money from surplus to the private placement for the student
identity. That's the same instance then.
Correct, it's not in addition to. That's why I put them back to back.
Gotcha.
I should have explained that, I apologize. When I use the word state mandate, I should probably be a little softer in my word. It's for the need of the student and the student's fragile situation. So the district doesn't specifically get to select the placement, but based on the student's history and change in situation, it makes sense. And the child study team.
I take it that the district administration agrees with this decision?
Correct. Okay. They've been involved in the process because it is our student. It wasn't just this is where the student is going to go. It's been an involved process.
Yes, and I know the case, and the state was taking some direction that I felt may not be helpful to the student, and so we stepped in with some other agencies and advised them, and so they stepped in and helped make a better placement that was better for the student, frankly, and was better for the district as well. Doesn't always work that way, but when you put children first and step into something like that, it usually works to everyone's advantage.
And then just to clarify, is it 089 and 090 are not additive, they're exclusive? It's only one event.
It's one event.
Yeah. But two transactions. Yes.
$140,000.
It's the $40,000, yes. Correct, to cover the $40,008 tuition in 90. Thank it's you. An additional addition.
Now, originally, the state was not involved in this, you said?
Initially, that is correct.
What would prompt them, or, you know, what was the catalyst for them to get involved?
The needs of the child.
It's determined by our school district?
Excuse me?
By our school district determines that?
We're walking a slippery slope, I think.
I'm going to just jump in here because the questions are good, but they can't be answered publicly. Generally speaking, the answer to your questions are no. Generally speaking, when you're placing a youngster with special needs, the state has virtually nothing to do with it other than it approves certain schools, and there's a list from which you can choose, and you can't deviate from that list unless there's a good reason. This is a very unique situation, and under state and federal law, your administrators can't really answer the questions you're asking. My respectful suggestion, I mean, if a number of you have a problem with this, you know, we can have a private discussion, but if one or two of you just want to know more, how could this possibly happen, because it's very rare, very atypical, not what normally happens, you can have a private conversation one-on-one with the administration afterwards, but there's no way they can give you a meaningful answer to your questions in public, given the unique nature of the situation and the privacy rights under state and federal law of the student. So we could do this sort of thing where it's like a presidential debate where you ask a question, don't get an answer. We can kind of do this for a while. So forgive me for interrupting, but I mean, your questions are good questions. They can't answer them directly.
But with all due respect, we're being asked to vote on something, to give a yes or no vote on something that, you know.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know what I mean?
I think they're lovingly telling you that you really don't have a choice. But if a majority of you feel that you need to have these questions answered before you can vote, we can have an executive session about this, but there's no way they can answer these questions publicly. And although I said it in a funny way, the short answer is, given the needs of the youngster, you really don't have a choice. Yes. I'm not trying to be disrespectful about it, but your questions are good questions. The one thing I can assure you is it's highly unusual that the state would dictate a placement to you. Highly unusual. But this is just a unique circumstance.
No, I understand. Before casting, we want to get all our...
No, it's reasonable, and that's why I thought I should wait in to let you know why they can't give you the answer to a very good question.
Okay, thank you.
So for the record, Dr. Clark, your professional opinion is we should vote yes on this item?
I would not have put it on the agenda if I was not advising that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question on 087.
Go ahead.
About approving the placement of a... Lebanon Borough District into the Clinton Township School District. It says rate to be determined. Could you elaborate?
The tuition rate has not, we're receiving the student into the district. I have not yet established a rate for the tuition cost. I just haven't had a chance to calculate it. It will be calculated on the next agenda and we'll revise it.
So we could revise the
actual. What we will do is we will approve the tuition rates, the received tuition rates. We don't have any currently.
Okay. All right.
And that's the whole
answer. That's fine. Thank you.
I have one. 086, the rate for the salary for the teacher to provide the home instruction, what is the basis for the rate? How was that arrived?
This is per our contract. The home instruction rate is $28, I believe, and 52 cents. This is the difference between,
it's
the difference. Correct. It's the difference between what the salary currently is and what it should be on home instruction. So this is the delta for the remainder of the school year. We did approve this motion a couple of months ago, thinking it would be a short-term situation. It has turned out that it needs to be through the end of the school year. Okay. So this is just pushing that forward.
Seeing no other questions, I'm going to ask for a roll call vote.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Cresty?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Personnel and negotiations, Michelle?
Personnel and negotiations has not had a chance to meet since the last public board meeting, just due to some scheduling and the other number of meetings that were scheduled for the board. But we've been communicating online and phone-wise. With that being said, we have some motions. That's motions or action items number 118 through the amendment number 144. And I'd like to amend one motion for action item number 136. And that would be on page 11. It's effective January 2nd, 2013 through January 30th, 2013.
Thank you, Michelle. You're doing that in form of a motion?
Yes, please.
Do we have a second, Maria?
Second.
Thank you. The addendum that you have is says action item P117. It should be 144. The one that was placed in front of you at the beginning of the meeting. So you have action items 118 118 to 144. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on any of the items for personnel and negotiations?
I have a question. action item 127 and action item 133 are related. I was just wondering why the service of the teacher ends on the 17th and the next teacher replacing her doesn't start until January. It seems to be a gap in service.
Where are we going? From
127, the teacher's
right.
Last day is today, and the replacement doesn't start until January 2nd. 133.
Okay.
Yeah, we have it's closed, and we have some other coverage there.
Okay.
I also believe this was a situation where it was an unexpected early leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, she was supposed to go until Friday.
So it'll be like a substitute teacher, will be in?
Yes, because of the early leave.
Okay. Okay, Rachel?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, I've got questions on the student teachers. Are the student teachers coming in under an intern program or cooperative education program?
I believe they're coming under an intern program. There may be one or two under cooperative education. I believe they're coming under internship.
So is it our intent with an internship program is to introduce the students to our school system with the idea of eventually hiring them into these positions or into positions in the Clinton Township School District?
We love that when it happens, that you see a wonderful teacher in action, and we often hire student teachers in the future. all right, who we've had a chance up close and personal to observe. Sometimes the opposite occurs as well.
Okay.
Any other questions on personnel negotiations? If not, we'll have a roll call.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Policy and curriculum. Rachel?
The Policy and Curriculum Committee has no action items tonight to move forward, but I do have some updates for the public on things that were discussed at our meeting. As you know, we had our first budget meeting, and so the Policy and Curriculum Committee is looking to make some recommendations for this year's budget. Because we are going to be focusing on zero-based budgeting this year, we had looked to discuss how we might be able to better supplement the classroom with some extra expenses that parents have noticed that are coming home. Some examples include in seventh grade, pillow stuffing, in eighth grade, supplying food for life skills classes. So one thing we're looking at is, as we make some recommendations for next year, how can we better support the curriculum in those areas that we feel need to be supplemented? And we will be having our next meeting in January to hopefully fine-tune some of those recommendations. In October of this year, the school board authorized some monies specifically for textbook support in grades 5 and 7 for social studies. The seventh grade teachers have reviewed the social studies materials, have made a recommendation, and the committee approved the recommendation to purchase a McGraw-Hill History of the U.S., which hopefully will be in the students' hands in sometime in January. I believe, Dr. Clark, the order was placed, correct? The fifth grade is still reviewing some of the materials. There were some concerns about the reading levels of the texts, particularly in fifth grade. So we hope to have everything completed by early January. One of the other considerations that the committee spent a lot of time on was the 2013-2014 calendar. Last year, the board made a commitment to try to secure a calendar earlier in the school year. We know that was an issue last year. We took great lengths to listen to the public. We put out a survey and realized that some of our students lie in the middle because, you know, they have older siblings perhaps in the high school district and are enrolled in our schools. There has been some discussion on how all of the sending districts can align to the high school in order to make the vacation periods easier on the parents. And one major consideration that we have for this year is that the North Arlington Voorhees School has already put forth their calendar, and their current spring recess is actually the time period before the seventh and eighth grade New Jersey ASK test. So in other words, our school district, if we align with North Arlington High School, would be coming back the day the test starts. So there would be no time for students in seventh and eighth grade to review any skills prior to New Jersey ASK testing. And that's a major consideration for our committee. And so Dr. Clark has had some discussions with sending districts on what we might do creatively to work around that. And at this point, she was going to go back and have further discussions. And so we don't have a recommendation tonight at this time, but we would like to have that by early January.
Right. I don't have a recommendation at this time, although I have spoken to a number of the districts, the sending districts. What the majority have decided to do is to make a request to the State Department of Ed and ask them to delay the testing by one day. And so the testing would not start on the Monday that the students come back, but the Tuesday. It is not a perfect solution. However, in light of the fact that we all know that many of the students will take the break when the high school is taking the break, and they won't be in our classes, we felt that that was a better possibility. So that is what the majority of districts are doing. I'm going to request it as well. I asked Bobby Philippe to do that for us on our behalf last week, and we're awaiting a response to see if they will at least move the testing date a bit. It is not a problem that's unique to Clinton Township, but to many of the K-8 districts are talking about that as a problem.
Do you think you anticipate hearing from the state in January?
I hope. We're going to have to make a decision one way or the other.
Okay. One other thing to note on the calendar is that there are many discussions about whether we should align exactly with North Hunterdon or not. And there have also been considerations that our population is different than the students at North Hunterdon. We don't have air conditioning in our schools, and it is still hot in August. So the calendars that we have looked at, that we are looking to move forward, will focus on starting kids the day after Labor Day, as opposed to starting them in August when North Hunterdon does, despite the fact that North Hunterdon did move back their start date to closer to September. So hopefully the state will get back to us and we'll be able to make a recommendation in January on a calendar, because I know everybody's waiting for it. At this time, I don't have any other updates. There are other items that the curriculum committee is working on, but nothing's really finalized at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Does anyone have a question for Rachel concerning the policy and curriculum? All right, we'll move on to communications. Maria?
I do not have any action items to move this evening. Our committee was not able to meet this month because of a lack of availability of evenings, just like the Personnel Negotiations Committee. We have a lot of projects that are ready to be released in the January timeframe. Letters have been written, press releases have been written, surveys have been written. We have some work we're ready to talk about and implement some strategies relative to some social media. We've put some framework around, or there is an existing framework for structure for a community advisory board. All of these things are ready to be discussed, and many of them ready to be implemented in the January timeframe. That's all I have to report.
Any questions for Maria? Seeing none, we'll move on to old business. Is there any old business that needs to be brought up before the board? Kevin?
I have one. I should have brought it up in my committee report, but I missed the boat. I wanted to get feedback from the board regarding this process for evaluating architect of record for the school. We received the proposals, and we've narrowed the list down to three that we're going to ask to come present to the Facilities and Finance Committee, and then we'll further fine-tune the list. Does the Board of Ed want to have a smaller population of architects, possibly one, present to the Board of Ed prior to voting on a recommendation to hire an architect of record? Or are you content to rely on the recommendation of the committee?
I'd like to have an interview or a presentation. I don't know if that's possible for the January 3rd meeting or not.
Well, three or just the one individual? That
one, or I mean, if you come up with two finalists, I don't know.
I think the plan was to actually come up with a projected, a recommended architect of record out of the committee meetings, as opposed to finalists. So.
Wait, one interview.
Yeah, one. Anybody else?
Any other input from?
Would it be possible to share with the rest of the board the presentations that the finalists made, so that we could take a look at it in lieu of them presenting in public?
If they provide
one, too
like
exclusive,
like a PowerPoint or. Or short of that, we could provide a summary
okay. Of
the presentations and maybe our questions and how we rated them as far as how they responded. We could certainly do that.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Give you a little bit more information as to the, you know, the process and the reasoning behind the recommendation.
Kevin,
thank you.
May I make a recommendation? Given the time frame and my personal belief as a member of the board, not only of the board but of the Finance Facility Committee, is that we don't want to make this so wide that it loses perspective. However, why don't we let all the board members, if they have specific questions that they'd like answered during the proposals, submit them through you?
That would be helpful. If okay. You have anything on your mind regarding the architect of record that you're concerned about or you would like to see, if you could forward me the email with those, we'll incorporate them into the interview process.
If you were to share information with the entire board, I'm assuming that would have to be done in executive session, Vito?
What information?
I think I could share the maybe the committee minutes information. That's shared. It cannot be an exchange of information.
Right. A one-way, right. As opposed to a back and forth, would be fine.
Right. So the committee could send you the report, but we can't have a discussion on it.
Okay.
And then you can attach to the report, I guess, their resumes and any other supporting documents that they bring along with them.
It would be technically difficult. The proposals are up to an inch thick.
Yes, but I have them at the board office.
And you can make them available for
review. So anyone who wants to review them can do that.
Okay. They're typically bound, very thick documents.
Right.
By way of visual aid.
That's the courier package.
Yeah, this is the board's official diplomatic pouch.
No.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll follow through accordingly.
Any other old business?
Quick one.
Go ahead.
Night of kudos for Mr. Dinkuff, and I'll echo the sentiments. But thanks for your service and thank you for everything. But one other quick note, Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer have just finished their first semester here. The change is palpable, and the change is positive. Congratulations. As we round the corner at the budget season, I know that basically this was sort of like exhibition baseball, but I just want to say that not only as a board member, but as a parent with kids in the district, I think that you guys have done a great job thus far, and I'm really glad you're here, and I'm looking forward to good things.
We are blessed with a fabulous staff who help make us look good.
Amen.
Any new business that needs to be brought for the board?
I have one item. Just seeing that there's so many staff members in the audience, I just, in light of Friday, wanted to share again with you how thankful we are that all of you take such wonderful care of our kids every day.
Thank you, Rachel. Yep. Second recognition of the public. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the public? Please come up to the mic, state your name and address, and we would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive, Lebanon. I just want to say for the calendar, I really did want to say that the September date would be preferable, but I understand with everything, and also that I really appreciated having the snow days already built into the calendar, knowing that had not the hurricane, we might have actually had a 4 days early off. It was much easier to plan and know that I wouldn't have to worry about that.
We are going to move forward with recommending that for next year because the pattern seems to be that we're getting October storms.
Yes, no, it's definitely great, and I love the non-half days, by the way.
I'll take it under advisement.
And also, I just wanted to say I've been only coming to these meetings for a little while, maybe year and a half, but I want to say thank you, Mr. Dinkuff, for everything that you've done over the past 6 years, and thank you for moving this back to the auditorium before you left.
Okay. Anyone else like to address the board? Before I ask for an adjournment, and that's all we have left, it's just an adjournment, I would like to just let everybody in the audience, as well as my colleagues on the Board of Education, know how I was touched tonight by the comments that we were made. I had absolutely no idea that my wife and my son just got home from college late yesterday afternoon, early evening, actually, and I had absolutely no idea that they would be coming here tonight, as well as some of our friends. I have loved serving on the Board of Education. I really consider it something that's important and something that's worthwhile. And if one has the time and the interest, I think it's an incredible experience. I look forward to being off the board and to pursuing a few other things. I look back at my last year on the Board of Education. My first 5 years were fantastic. My last year on the Board of Education, there were some things that I just would shake my head and say, I just don't understand what is going on. I'm not gonna go crazy here. But I look at this last year on the Board of Education, and I look at the individual that we hired as a superintendent of schools and the individual that we hired as a business administrator, and I think we are truly blessed, very, very fortunate. Our children in Clinton Township are very fortunate. We have a superintendent of schools who is absolutely fantastic. She's into everything. She's intelligent. She knows what's going on in the schools. She knows what's supposed to be going on in good schools. That's extremely important. We're fortunate to have the business administrator board secretary that we have. This district struggled for close to a year. We couldn't even get an interim business administrator. We're very, very fortunate to have Heather Spitzer with us as our school business administrator. You know, we have great teachers. We have great building principals, great directors. We're fortunate now to have outstanding people in central administration. So I look back at my last year on the board, and that last year wasn't so bad because we were able to hire Dr. Clark as our superintendent and Heather as our business administrator. And also because we moved the budget from April to November, all right? And let me real quick just tell you why. This district defeated the school budget 6 out of 7 years. That's not good for our kids. Defeated the school budget 6 out of 7 years, all right? 1 year that the budget was defeated, there was a zero tax increase in the tax levy. Zero. And the budget was defeated. It went before the town council, and they cut it. People used to brag in this district that we had one of the lowest per pupil costs in Hunterdon County. Brag about that. That's nothing to brag about, okay? This district for a couple years suffered because not enough money was put aside for staff development, for helping our teachers who were good become great, all right? I think that has turned around. And you're going to see, this district going in a much better direction. So I'm proud of what happened in the last year. And I think as parents and as people that work in this district, you should be proud of the Clinton Township Schools District. And thank you for letting me serve as a member of the Board of Education. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved by Kevin. Second?
Second.
Do we have a second?
Michelle did.
Michelle. Before I ask for a roll call vote, I also would like to thank Vito Gagliardi, who I think is a fantastic business board attorney. Thank you, Vito, for being our board attorney.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been coming to these meetings, I think, longer than anyone in this room. I started my family in this community a long time ago, and I've been here as your attorney for 17 years. And look, every year of it, I know. But I thank you for the opportunity to serve and for your kind words. I wish you well, Jim.
Thank you.
I just have to say, because the board does not know this, that Mr. Gagliardi came here tonight after a funeral. His beloved grandmother died at 95.
Wow.
And I just wanted the board to be aware that he would not share that with you. But he had a tough day today, and he came here because of the fact that he cares for us, actually. And so I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that, to pay our respects, and to thank him for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vito.
Thank you.
Well, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.